trouble. And then, so we're praying for them and their health, praying for Brother Rusty and taking care of his mother and working around the clock. And so we love you guys, miss you guys, hope to see you guys soon as well. Joe and Lynn Vandiver and his sister-in-law Charlotte and her cancer, praying for Charlotte. Jenny Clanton, last time I spoke with her, her husband Jimmy had shingles. I'm sure he's over that now, but we will reach back out to them, and but let's certainly remember them in prayer. Randy and Diane Ely, her brother's cancer. Ed and Marianne Sandvey, pray for Brother Ed, his speech, and his overall healing. Pray for Miss Marianne, and Grace to continue to be that helpmate as well. And she's a great one. All right. Also, Jeff and Sharon Hodges, their son-in-law Chris, Gerald and Francis Carroll. Brother Gerald had a birthday the other day. I believe it was on Sunday. So publicly, we're saying happy belated birthday, Brother Gerald. And let's remember Eddie and Joanne Rich, Ashley, Aiden, Eli, and Bentley. Of course, we're continuing to remember Miss Mary and Miss Lee Ellen. And Miss Mary almost has all her the taste back when she had COVID. She's doing great now, back in church. But praying for you, Miss Mary, and appreciate you, Miss Lee Ellen, and how you help us here with things at the church. Let's remember all of our shut-ins. That spans from the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, Ken Bryant, let's remember him, and there's some others out there. Let's continue to remember in prayer. James Tolan Brown, our Marine there at the children's home, but also there's another one getting ready to go into training. That's the Navy. That's Savannah and Presley's brother. And please forgive me. Right now his name slips my mind, but it's the Cochran's, and so let's remember him as he gets ready to join the Navy. And, of course, our friend Kim Merritt, who's been dealing with brain cancer for over a year at Pleasant Hill, let's remember her in our prayers. Also, our upcoming events, let's remember our big parking lot Easter service. We are so looking forward to this. And we've already started handing out flyers in town. And so we're excited about that. We're looking for a parking lot full of people. Continue to help us pray about that. That's going to be on April the 4th and 10:30 Sunday, Easter. And 87.9 FM will be the parking lot radio Calvary station. Let me just say this, that I guess this is the third Sunday, this coming up Sunday, we have been running the 87.9 FM Calvary radio station. And it's on the church marquee out there for the passerbyers. And so check that out sometime during live services only, Sunday morning. You'll be able to hear. And there's like a 5-mile radius that it picks up. And so that's wonderful as well. Easter service outside April 4th, 10:30. And then on May 23rd, the Diplomats will be with us in the AM service. It'll be a time of singing, praying, encouragement. And so we're just going, as of right now, that's just going to be a singing service. And looking forward to the Diplomats. Again, we have other things that we are praying about, thinking of. We have a movie night coming soon this spring into summer. Looking forward to that. And also here very, very soon, we'll be ushering in back into our schedule, our other services. Let me say this. This past Sunday night, we had 11 show up. And, of course, it was unplanned. But at the end of Sunday morning service, we just wanted to throw that out there. About coming back on Sunday night, and so we had 11 to come, and we had a great service Sunday night. Those that watched can know that and do know that, but anyway, just remember those things, and let's remember one another. Let's pray, And then we'll bring the message tonight. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for who you are. We're thankful, we're grateful for what you do. Lord, many times we can't trace the hand of God, but remind us, Lord, remind us to trust the heart of God. So many times, Lord, it seems as though you're nowhere to be found. That's what Job said when his body was smitten with disease. He lost his family. He lost all things. He did not lose his faith, though. And he felt as though you were missing in his life. There are times in life where we go through times such as that, where we can't figure out exactly what's going on. But I'm glad that we don't have to, Lord. The hidden things belong to you. We're called to trust in you. So tonight we trust in you. Lord, we cast all of our care upon you. Lord, we ask that you'll strengthen our faith to believe. Help us tonight, Lord, to dive into the Scriptures and glean some simple truths. Help us be sharper, Lord, than when we were before we started tonight. And God, we pray for all of these requests from the very first name mentioned to the very last event we have planned. And everything on the inside, in the middle, we pray that you'll have preeminence, Lord, that your way will be done in every life, every situation. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church and what this church means to me and my family. Father, help us to serve wholeheartedly, moving forward, reaching this community, and utilizing the great help that we have here as a church family. Be with us now as we dive into your word. Let us come up with pearls of wisdom as we dive deep to the pages of God's word. We love you tonight. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you for Mount Calvary. Thank you for the things that you have done, the things you're doing now, and the things you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Thanksgiving in our heart. Amen and amen. Tonight we're going to start in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. It is a often resorted place to go to in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And this is where we're going to introduce our subject tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11, this is known, as you know, the Great Hall of Faith chapter in the Bible. It records many who have fought the good fight of faith, and who have finished their course, and now they are part of that great cloud of witnesses. And so they are in heaven, and they have finished their fight of faith, they have finished their course. And so we have recorded here all of these spiritual athletes, so to speak, spiritual heroes who stood the test of time, who believed God in spite of what things appeared to be. So they finished, and they finished well. This chapter tonight tells us at least two things. Tells us, number one, it gives us the what of faith, but then it gives us the who of faith. It gives us in this chapter the what of faith, and then it gives us the who of faith. In verse number 1, we find the what of faith. He says in verse 1, Hebrews 11, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." This is the what of faith. And I say what of faith because it tells us what faith is. Faith tonight is not seeing something and then confidently saying, "I believe because I see it." The Bible tells us, blessed are those who believe and not see. But what faith is, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this kind of faith is not some loose, frivolous, hope-so faith, but the kind of faith that Hebrews 11:1 is talking about, it's talking about that real salvation that you get when you call upon the name of Jesus and you are saved by grace through faith. And you now have a foundation of faith in your life. And so real salvation will give you a confidence to believe in the things that are not seen. We're talking about a firm foundation of faith. And we know that before any house is built, before any life is built, there must be a foundation. And Jesus tonight, He is that firm foundation. He is our faith. In the moment that a person accepts Jesus, asks the Lord to come to their heart, they repent of their sin and they turn to Him for salvation and the gospel plan, immediately they have faith as foundation in their life. They have an element of faith. This element of faith allows the believer to be confident in what's ahead for them, although we can't see it. When a person gets saved, they are given faith. They are given this confident expectation that Jesus is coming for us. We can't see it right now. We can certainly see things leading up to His return for us. But at the same time, we can't see heaven. But we do see it through the eyes of faith. And we know that when we die, or we know when Jesus comes for us, we will be there. This isn't a hope I will be there. This isn't a loose feeling that comes and goes. But this is a gift that was given to us at salvation. A confident know-so that there is a heaven and we're going there some glad day. And so real faith tonight gives us a confident. We are persuaded of what we have, though we can't see it. Real Bible faith or salvation gives a reality of our possession, though not seen. And so tonight, Hebrews 11 tells us the what of faith. Tells us that if you have the embodiment of the gospel, if you possess faith, the faith life, Jesus, then you have a confidence in the things that you can't see, but you know that belong to you. And so now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word hoped here, again, it's not a loose worry. It's not a frivolous unraveling of confidence, but it's a no-so. It's a confidence. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look in verse number 2 and 3. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so tonight we believe through faith, through believing that Jesus, that God had framed this world, this earth, the galaxies and all, by His very words. And we believe that through faith. We are confident that that actually happened. And so we see that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And and the completion of that says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so tonight we see the what of faith. Faith brings reality, real, genuine possession of salvation, one of the results is genuine faith. But not only this chapter in Hebrews tells us the what of faith, but he tells us the who of faith. The who of faith. Who had this faith in Bible days? Well, this is the hall of faith. And so we see that there are certain people of faith mentioned. Look at verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Verse number 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Verse number 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse number 7 tells us, by faith Noah, listen to this, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You see, because Noah was a believer and he embraced God's salvation, by that he was moved with fear. God told him of the things that are coming, and because he was a genuine faith carrier, he was moved. That faith moved him to make that ark. Verse number 8, by faith Abraham. And to mention some things about Abraham, if you look in verse number 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. By faith Joseph. Verse 22. Verse 23, by faith Moses. And then we see in verse number 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. We remember that under the leadership of Joshua. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not. Verse number 32 mentions several more. It mentions Gideon, mentions Barak, mentions David, Samuel, and the prophets. You see, real, genuine faith that a believer possesses is something that holds on to us. It holds on to us. And we spend our lives trying to operate out of what holds on to us. We try to learn how to appropriate what we have. And that is, ultimately, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we spend our life trying to trust Him and take Him at His word. So tonight, faith is something that we have that was given to us at salvation, but also faith is something that must be worked out with fear and much trembling. You see, we don't, let me say it this way, good works doesn't produce salvation. But salvation produces good works. And so that's what he's talking about here, is that real faith will work through our lives. So tonight I want to call your attention, with all of that said, the who of faith, the what of faith. I want to call your attention to verse number 11. And this is going to be our text verse tonight. And so we've talked about the who of faith, all of these people that had faith. Listen to this. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I want you to notice tonight, church, verse number 11. while we've mentioned already all of these others, I mean, verse number 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. By faith Noah. By faith Moses. By faith all of these others. Well, we get to Sarah. And the Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let me say this tonight. There was a time in the life of Sarah where we had Sarah the struggler. You remember the account? I believe it's in Genesis chapter number 18. You remember when the Lord had told Abraham and then Sarah, and the Bible says that Sarah, she laughed. She could not understand how that at her age, her old, well stricken age, that she could bear a son. She laughed at the Lord. She just could not comprehend how in the world that the Lord could bring to pass a child through her in her older, stricken age. But the Scripture tells us tonight, through faith, also Sarah received, or Sarah, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Tonight I want to call our attention to those two words, Sarah herself. And I think this is very important to notate tonight. This is very important because right in the middle of the hall of faith and all of these people around Sarah that through faith this one, through faith that one. But then we get to Sarah and it says, through faith also Sarah herself. This is indicating to us that there was a time in her life, as all the others had struggled as well from time to time. But there is special emphasis laid here on the end result of Sarah. Not the Sarah in the beginning, but the Sarah in the end. You and I tonight, we have struggles. And you and I tonight, we don't always do the things we're supposed to do. We don't always carry the spiritual football in the end zone for a touchdown. There's times where we fumble God's love and we fumble our obedience and we fumble those things. And I'm glad tonight that the Lord doesn't, or at least in my life, I'm glad that when He saw that I would drop the ball, when the Lord saw that I would fumble and I would crumble and I wouldn't be obedient unto Him, I'm glad that He didn't cut me off. I'm glad that He didn't crown me and take me home. I'm glad that the Lord, He's a God who, again, like we said last Sunday morning, He is a progressive God. While we look at the things that are now and we focus on our folly and we look at our failures, the Lord is looking at the bigger picture. And we may at many times feel like a failure. We may at many times feel like we're just spinning our wheels and getting nowhere. While the Lord, He is high and lifted up. He is in heaven and He has an ultimate plan. And He's trying to work His plan from heaven on earth. There's a bigger picture tonight. And so when the writer, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews, he mentions all of these heroes. But then he says, through faith also Sarah herself. In this verse, we have the embodiment of a successful Christian believer. This verse tells us, and this verse is given to us not to show any fault, not to show any early error in her life, although she was late in life when she laughed at the Lord. But this verse tonight tells us that faith works. It tells us that if you are saved by the grace of God, you have genuine faith. You have the potential to call on God for help. You have that element of faith that you can tap into so that you don't have to see the outcome. Although the appearance of things may be evil, it may look like you're spinning your wheels, but because you have genuine faith, you can make it tonight. All you have to do is take God at His word where He says, I will be with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Where the Lord says, I will provide all your need according to my riches and glory. The Lord says that He's working all things together for good. You see, tonight, faith works. Real, genuine faith. On the contrary, that's the reason why faith don't work for a lot of people is because they don't have faith. They don't have the person of Jesus living on the inside of them. They don't have Christ Jesus living on the inside of them that whispers words of encouragement, that whispers words of faith into our souls because He is ours and we are His. The truth be told tonight, there are a lot of people that are falling away from attending church, watching church. It's because they don't have genuine faith. They don't have Jesus. They don't have Jesus. But you show me someone who has, by faith and repentance, called out to God for salvation, and I'll show you someone tonight that though the storms go rough and long, you show me someone tonight who by faith and repentance in the words of God has called on Him for salvation, I'll show you someone tonight, though their world may be rocked by devastation, I'll show you someone tonight who's going to weather the storm. I'll show you someone tonight, though hell is against them, because they have genuine faith, and they may feel like they're not exercising faith good enough, but because faith has them, I'll show you someone tonight that'll make it. I'm glad tonight that faith has me. Faith has me. And because faith got me on November 19th, 2002, because real faith got me, I have something to work with. Praise the Lord. Because I possess real, genuine faith tonight, though the storms, they howl and life falls apart and I feel like I've been forsaken at times by the Lord. But in all actuality, there is a reservoir within my soul and within my heart that there is a lake, there is an ocean of faith I can drink from. You tonight, if you are truly born again, you may feel defeated this evening. You may feel like God has abandoned you. You may feel like you can't get a prayer through. You may feel like you're spinning your wheels. But if you have Jesus, why do you need anything more? Jesus tonight is the true and living faith. He's the one who will usher in times of refreshment. He's the one that will usher in times of joy. He's the one that will inject the vaccine of grace and will allow us to develop antibodies so that we won't faint and so that we won't get weary in well-doing. We serve a God tonight who is real faith. And we serve a God tonight who will impute faith. We serve a God tonight that will allow us to crawl into His lap and be the beneficiaries that we are and keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight that when we look at the life of Sarah, we see that Sarah herself finished well. Sarah herself, it wasn't Abraham's faith that got Sarah to the finish line. It wasn't Lot's faith that got her to the finish line. It wasn't Abel's faith, Enoch's faith, Noah's faith. But Sarah, she possessed real faith. And her real faith carried her through times of doubt. The real faith that she possessed and motivated her to keep going. The real faith that Sarah possessed, it was only a matter of time before she took God at His word. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Because of Sarah's faith tonight, she received strength physically to bear that seed at her age, 90. But Sarah also received strength spiritually to keep on believing until it happened. Sarah herself. There may be someone watching tonight who has lived on someone else's faith. And sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to borrow faith when your faith is dry. But I wonder tonight if there's somebody who's watching who you've been living on someone else's faith and what God has done for them and Papa and Grandma and Mama and Daddy and friends at other churches. You get these reports of how they're still with it and God has given them grace or God brought them through their struggles and problems, and you tonight feel like you're going under. Comes a time in all of our life where we have to, for ourself, trust Jesus. There comes a time in life where a person must accept and trust Jesus. Trust and accept Jesus as their Savior for their self. They can't get to heaven on Grandma and Grandpa's coattail. They have to trust the Lord for themselves for salvation. And then, if you're listening tonight, there comes a point in time where your faith has to graduate. And you have got to just trust the Lord no matter what. No matter what. Sarah herself. I want to mention some things tonight when it comes to Sarah. In her journey, how there were certain things that took place that led her up to a good place. Certain things transpired in the life of Sarah. She had to go through certain things and encounter certain things, or at least she chose to. But the end result was a stronger faith. And what we see during her life is that the faith that had her and the faith that kept her was wanting to work itself out of her and trust God. Sarah herself. Number one, I want you to notice tonight, Sarah's hasty decision. Turn, if you would, to Genesis 16. Sarah's hasty decision. I don't know why I'm walking around with my Bible tonight. I don't ever do that, but maybe a start of a new thing. Sarah's hasty decision. In Genesis chapter number 15, listen to this. Verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Look at verse number 2. And Abram said, after the Lord just said, I am your reward, I'm everything you need, Abram said this. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me? That's kind of arrogant, isn't it? God just said, Abraham, I'm your everything. I'm your reward. I'm all you need. Abraham said, what are you going to give me? As though that's not enough. And truly, his lack of faith is seen here. Look at verse number 2 again. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Let me stop there and say this. We know back in Genesis chapter number 12 that God had told Abraham he's going to use him. God told Abraham he's going to bless him. And God told Abraham that it's through him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So there had to be a seed come from him. And so now Abraham, number one, himself as being the husband, he's in a doubting phase. Verse 3 again, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. You're late, God. You're busy with others. You said that through me all the nations of the earth will be blessed. There's no seed. And lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. Listen what the Lord says in verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. This is what I'm hearing right now. God said, no, Abraham. Eleazar came from someone else. The seed I'm going to bless you with has to come from, and it is going to come from you. That's someone else's child. But we see that Abraham, God told him, he said, no, no, no. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Boy, it's difficult to wait on God, isn't it? Abraham, he's seen Eleazar and said, man, this will be a good adoptive child. He's the one. I mean, he walks right, he talks right. Man of God himself, a young person of God, this is the one. God said, no, 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 no. Sometimes in life, things seem right. Sometimes in life, they even make perfect sense to us. And then lo and behold, the Lord does not allow what we thought was right, that looked right, that act right, it fit the puzzle. And then God doesn't allow it to come to fruition. Those times in life can get very frustrating. When we think that our prayer is about to be answered. When we think that God is getting ready to open a door. When we think that our healing is on the way. But yet nothing happens. The doors don't open. The healing doesn't come. And Abraham here, he and Sarah as well are getting hasty in their attitudes. And we see that the Lord said, no, no, no. Eleazar was the product of someone else. I'm going to bring your seed through your own bowels. And you will know for sure it's from me because it came from you. Sometimes in life we are approached with situations where we think that God ought to come through and God ought to move and God ought to open doors. And sometimes he doesn't do that. I'll say that he has a reason. Because when God does something in your life and mine, it's not riding on someone else's coattail. But it comes forth from our own spirit, our own soul, our own heart. We know when God has spoken to us because it's personal. God told Abraham, no, that's someone else's kid. Eliezer, he said that your kid's going to come from your bowels. It's going to be a very personal thing, unmistakable. You in your ripe old age, you're going to have a child. I'm glad that no matter how tough things get in life, no matter how frustrating waiting on the Lord is for things to transpire, there's one thing about it. His sheep know his voice. When God speaks, his ear, you cannot mistake it. When God speaks, it's personal. When God speaks, you cannot mistake it for any other voice. You just know it's the Lord. You can't explain that. You just know it. Tonight, there may be someone who is watching who thought that the new opportunity you had was going to come to pass, and it didn't. There may be someone tonight who's watching who finds themselves in a very bad situation. Well, let me just say that if you put yourself there, it's one thing. But if by the providence of God, he allowed it to happen to you, that's another thing. You see, there's always a lesson in disobedience, but there's also a lesson in God's providence. And I'm glad tonight, although we fumble the ball, there's times where we don't obey. And we do bring stuff in our life. God is able to make all things work together for good. And this is not to have an attitude like this. Well, since God's going to work everything together for good, since God will take my faults, my failures, he'll get me to where I need to be anyway, then I'm not even going to try. No. We can't fool God. And Paul even spoke about that. I believe it's in the book of Romans. He says, in essence, since we're under grace, shall we sin that more grace may abound? He said, God forbid. And so we see tonight that a person who genuinely has faith is soul conscious of their faith. So conscious of their faith, those that have faith. But there's times where the person who has true faith, like Abraham, he still tried to get ahead of the Lord. Notice something else. Look at chapter number 16. In verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. This is what she's saying. God's not going to do it. I'm too old. I'm well stricken in years. If he was going to do something, he would have done it earlier. And she said that the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Abraham. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Kind of reminds you of Adam and Eve in the garden, who Eve was the one in the transgression. and gave to Adam, and he did eat. Listen, Abraham should not have listened to Sarai. But keep in mind, they are a married couple. And what affects the one affects the other. They both want a child, and God spoke this promise to Abraham's heart, to Sarah as well. And she's stricken in years. He's getting old himself. And so now, they devise a plot, or they devise a plan. This is Sarah's hasty decision. Verse number 3, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to his wife. 10 years. No child. Abraham, this is it. This is it. And Abram went in into her. Verse 4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Oh, you think? I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And so we're not going to get into all of these ins and outs, but we know that Hagar fled and the Lord had seen her, but also it was told about the kind of child that would come from such a hasty decision. Verse number 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, the angel of the Lord speaking to Hagar, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. You see, the Lord didn't stop this birth because he don't believe in abortion. And so the birth was going to happen. Bible says that, and the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. That's war. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Look at verse 15. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. I want to stop there. We're talking about Sarah's hasty decision under the title Sarah herself. And we see that Sarah's hasty decision was born out of her doubt in God's promise. She was getting older, and so no child yet. She's not getting any younger. And so therefore she forged this plan. Hagar and Abraham, now we have Ishmael. Tonight, Ishmael is a picture of the flesh. Ishmael is a picture of making a decision and not asking God, making a decision and not waiting on God's approval. It's a picture of, Ishmael is a picture and a product of making a hasty decision, and how that out of that hasty decision, the consequence followed their whole life. And even today there is war in the Middle East. All can come and birth from this Ishmael child. Ishmael is a picture of getting ahead of God. Ishmael is a picture of being hasty in our decisions. How many of us tonight can say, including me, that we have been hasty in some of our decision makings? And there may be someone tonight who has been hasty in some decision making. And maybe even you have to make some future decisions. Don't be hasty in those decision makings. Ask God. Wait on God. We do have a promise in Proverbs chapter number 3 that if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He shall direct our paths. The Lord tonight wants us not to be like Sarah, who was leaning upon her own understanding. God knows if you need an intervention tonight of some kind, physically, financially, mentally, spiritually, of course. And by being hasty in our decisions is not the best decision to make, because the Bible tells us if we with all of our heart include Jesus in our decisions. I like what Charles Stanley said. He used to say, trust God and leave all the consequences up to Him. You see, there's a difference. There is a difference. She said, Abraham, I'm not pregnant. We're getting old. So Abraham thought Eleazar, and now we see that Sarah called for Hagar. Wow, what trouble came from that decision. Let us be not wise in our own eyes, but depart from evil and trust the Lord. Sarah's hasty decision. Let me mention something else. Sarah's harsh consequence. Look in chapter number... We'll stay in chapter number 16 for a moment. Look at that last verse. Sarah's harsh consequence. Verse number 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. 86 years old, that is 86 years old. Chapter 17, notice verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, be thou perfect. In verse number 1 here, chapter 17, Abraham is now 99 years old. I'm not a math whiz, but from 86 to 99 is 13 years. And so based upon what we see here in Scripture, from chapter 16, verse 16, to chapter 17, verse 1, only one verse away was 13 years of silence from God. We turn our Bibles and we flip our pages. We read and read. But you know, we really never know how long or what exactly is taking place in a situation to the extent. You really never know. We do know this. This silence from God was certainly attached to this decision of Sarah. And need I say tonight, preaching to myself, that when we make decisions, consequences will happen. And the decisions we make and the consequences we have to deal with will either benefit our walk with the Lord or it will hinder our walk with the Lord. What I get from this is that because Sarah was hasty, there was some harsh consequences. Her communion, Abraham's communion, suffered 13 years long of not hearing from God. Church, I get nervous when God doesn't speak to me in a day, in 2 days, daily. I get nervous. Especially when I try to feed myself so I can have something to share to you. If God's not speaking, I'm worried. And I know there's times where we're doing the very best that we all can do. And it seems like it's just ink on paper, and we just got to faith alone. We got to just move on, move along in faith. But we just have a long stretch of time when God has not spoken. Notice this. There's a call for maturity in this verse. He says a couple things here, three things. Notice he says, "And said unto me, I am the Almighty God." Then he says, "Walk before me." Then he says, "And be thou perfect." He says, after 13 years of silence, the last time he spoke was in chapter number 15. And when he told Abraham, "I'm your reward," and then we have the Abrahamic blood covenant where the Lord allowed a deep sleep to fall upon Abram, and all the pieces of the sacrifice was divided, and the Lord walked down the middle of those pieces, coveting with himself, because Abram was asleep. God, in essence, was saying, "My covenant that I'm going to use you is not based upon your performance, but it's based upon my covenant." Tonight, we have the same deal. We have the New Testament. We have a better covenant. And it's bonded with the blood of Jesus. And I'm glad that God doesn't choose to use me or not use me based upon who I am or what good things I could bring to the table or how smart or how ignorant I am or decisions I make. God, He promises that if we will keep our hearts bent toward Him, He will use us. And so now we have the Lord that was speaking in chapter number 15, and then we have in chapter number 16 the situation with Hagar and Ishmael, and then 13 years of silence. Chapter number 17, in verse number 1, the very first thing that the Lord said is to Abraham, to Sarai, was this: "I am the Almighty God." The Hebrew word for Almighty God is Shaddai, which means most powerful. And so Jesus is, the Lord is saying what He said back in chapter number 15. "I'm your reward." Abraham, he held that frivolously. Went through a lot of trials. Chapter 17, verse 1, he's saying in essence, "I am thy reward. I am your power. I am all that you need. Let's try this again, Abraham. Last time I told you I'm all you need and you fell apart. Let's try it again. It's been 13 long years. There's been some marriage. There's been some babies being born out of wedlock. Let's go with this again. I am the Almighty God. I'm all you need, Abraham." Tonight, those that are watching, you may be in a strait. You may need the Lord. And listen, He is here for you. He is all you need. Something else He says. He says, "Walk before me." I am the Almighty God. I am Shaddai. El Shaddai. Walk before me. In other words, Abraham, I'm going to have to ask you to do this. You need to be in front of me so I keep an eye on you. Those of you that have kids, we have a child, of course, and there's times where you try to give a level of trust to them, and it doesn't always turn out the best. And so you're like, "Okay, stand in front of me so I'll keep my eye on you." In a sense, I think that's what God's saying. He went from "follow me" to "stand in front of me." And we're called to follow Jesus, but I think there's times where the Lord speaks to us and says, "Listen, 13 years is long enough. I'm all you need. Stand in front of me and let's move on. Keeping my eye on you." But also, I think, this is a great promise of His presence being behind them. Abraham, walk before me. I'm behind you, son. I'm with you, son. And so, in actuality, one of the things that was birthed from this bad decision was more of God's presence. I'm with you. There's a third thing. He says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Just simply means mature. Learn from your mistakes. That's the goal that the Lord has. That's the plan He has for all of us, is that we follow Him, that we allow ourselves to be accountable as if we're walking in front of Him. We hold ourselves accountable to Him. He's with us. But also we're to learn from our mistakes, and we're to abound in our faith. We are to grow in a deeper relationship with Jesus. We're to, as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Peter says that we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that when it comes to Sarah herself believing, there was a harsh consequence involved. And that had to do with a temporary silence from the Lord. There was Sarah's hasty decision there in chapter 16. Lastly, and we'll be through, Sarah's happy conclusion. Look in chapter number 21. Sarah's happy conclusion. Genesis chapter number 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. Of course He did. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Of course He did. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Number one, did you notice the difference in their names? And the Lord visited Sarah. Verse number two, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham. In just one aspect of those names being changed, I believe that this is a mark of maturity. They've learned some things. They fought the good fight of faith. They hung in there. Sarah means princess. And then we have Abraham. And now the Lord visited Sarah, as He said. There was some maturity in their marriage, maturity in their life. They learned some things. And at the set time, verse 2, she conceived. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Let me say this as we get ready to close. This is a different kind of laugh. Sarah herself believed. In the beginning, it was loose. She laughed. Abraham even laughed. But she laughed at the very idea of having a son in her old age. But after going through what she went through, the ups and downs, trying to get ahead of God, being impatient, finally she laughs again. But it's a different kind of laugh. It's like, of course, Lord. Of course. Oh, Lord, my unbelief the whole time. God, You held true to Your word like You said. Verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God has spoken to him. We don't have time to get into this tonight, but there are a lot of set times in the Bible. There was a set time for the day of grace which we're in, preaching of Jesus. But there's coming a time when the day of grace will be over and the church will be raptured out of here. There's different set times. God had set a time when this was going to happen. And so all along the way, it was learning curves. And so verse 6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. They'll all gather around and say, look at this baby. And so her friends say, well, Sarah, what did you name him? Sarah goes, what did I name my beautiful baby? I named him Isaac. Well, Sarah, what does Isaac mean? She says it means laughter. It means laughter. Oh, Sarah, why would you name your son laughter? Oh, because there was a time in my life where I was up in age and the things on the surface didn't look good like they're going to work out. And the Lord told me it was going to work out, and I laughed at him because I didn't believe. And so I have named my son Laughter because that laughter is a stigma to me now. God came through with his word. And I can just see that little, group of women and Sarah holding Isaac and her friends. They're all laughing, not against God, but how that God works things all together for good. Do you know tonight that the Lord is in control? That doesn't mean that there's not going to be any hurts, any heartaches. Doesn't mean there's not going to be any hang-ups in life. Doesn't mean that we're not going to make some decisions that aren't the best. But here's what it does mean. That we can trust in Jesus. And He is faithful to His Word. Not one promise of His good Word, Moses said, has fallen. Hebrews 11, verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Father, tonight we love you, we praise you, we thank you for who you are, for what you do. Thank you, Lord, for your good word this evening. I know we've kept your people a good while tonight, but God, it was on my heart, and Lord, I just feel like it reached someone tonight. If it just reached one person, the worth was worth everything. It is worth everything. Bless your people tonight. Keep them safe. Keep all of us safe. Bring us back safely on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for watching tonight. Just continue to pray for the church. Pray for Sunday services. And we love you all. God bless you. And we'll see you soon.